Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning we're going to continue in our sermon series on monsters. Somebody caught me out before I walked in and said they said, "This has really been a good series for me to invite my friends." And I said, "Why?" They said, "It doesn't sound all churchy." And I said, "Well, yeah, I guess monsters doesn't sound too churchy." That's true. So to those of you for whom that helps, all the good. But I wonder if you'd pray for me as we begin the sermon. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts would be given over to you. And I pray that it would be godly. I pray that it would be helpful to those who come and have come to find you and worship you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and that you would use these words as you would and use the thoughts and use your promptings. All those are so much more important than what the preacher will say. So help us to open ourselves to that space where you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I brought my smartphone, my phone with me. It is smart. And I don't ever bring this into the sanctuary for obvious reasons. Because if you have it, you're going to look at it. Now, I know many of you actually use this to follow along in the scripture reading. And you catch me after, like, "I wasn't looking at my smartphone, I swear. I was, you know," and I believe you, I trust you, it's all good. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, I pulled this out to show it to people as I'm just doing now, and Ashley Allen had just sent me a text message. That's how amazing a smartphone is. Ashley, right before the worship service, I'd sent her a text and I said, "How's your dad?" Ashley is in the Norfolk area. She covets your prayers. Her dad, she found out the other day, is very ill. He's in the hospital. And so she said that he's still there and having some real complications. And so I just, you know, would ask you to pray for him. And that's what's so amazing about this device, is that you can get information that fast. And if I wanted to right now, if I wanted to take the time, I could text her in a hospital room and say, "We are all praying for you at the 9:15 service." And she would look at the timestamp and she'd say, "Whoa, that's pretty immediate, right? Hey, in fact, Megan, why don't you do that?" But then hand it back to me. Let me tell you about two other stories about why I think this is such an amazing device and why we live in such an amazing time. The other day, I was out somewhere and I was standing in a line. You know, do you like standing in lines? Now, me either. I'm a terrible line stander. And so I pulled my phone out and I was just checking social media, and somebody had sent me a Facebook message, which, yes, I hadn't looked at for 2 days, because that's about my rate of frequency looking at that. Thank you. And I looked at it and it was an old college friend, and she had sent me a text using that medium because she didn't have my email address. And she said, "Send me your email address." And I did. And even though it was 2 days old, by the time I got to my car, she had sent me an email telling me that an old friend of mine from college days was probably in the last hours of his life. And he was dying of kidney cancer and in hospice care. And she said, she was asking a group of us, Ashley just texted back. She was sending a group of us this email, and she was suggesting that maybe we could write a note of remembrance of the time that we had shared together and maybe some memory that was important to us. And his wife was reading those memories to him, and people were blessing him from all over the place. I mean, isn't it amazing how connected we are? And I did that. I went home that night, and it was the first thing I did. I sat down on the couch, and I pulled out my laptop, and I typed him a message. And the next morning, she sent me an email, and she said, "I was there when your message came, and it meant a lot to the family that you took that time. Thank you." And we communicated a little bit. And Friday morning, I got up. It was my birthday, and I was in a really good mood. I woke up, and I was like, "It's my birthday." And I took the dog for a walk. The sun had just come up, and I decided to take the dog for a walk in the woods near our home, as I do some days. And I pulled this out with me, and I had a pair of headphones, and I found a podcast, which is another thing I really like about this. And it was a Lecto Divina. I just happened to get on church's podcast, and that the one I selected. Lecto Divina is sort of an ancient practice. You read the scripture usually three times. And it's a way not to study the scripture, but to meditate on the scripture. And so a woman read the scripture once as I was walking through the woods on my birthday. And it just so happened that the text she read was Psalm 139. Go home and read the first part of 1 Psalm 39. You'll just be amazed that this came up on my birthday. And it said, one portion, the 13th verse, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." And the scripture that just happens to come up on this magic device says, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made, you knit me together in my mother's womb," and it was in fact my birthday. And I just honestly, I was just caught by that. That God knows all about the world and the problems of the world, but also God knows me and you. Just one on one. The both and of our faith. And I was so struck by that. And I heard that three separate times, and as I meditated on it, the light was streaming through the leaves of the tree, of the canopy of the tree. And I honestly, on my birthday, I just said, "God, thank you for life. And thank you for," and I honestly, I walked back and I just thought about blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And the last blessing I thought of is, what a magical time that we live in. And any good thing humans can take and create a shadow side. Because I'll tell you something else about this device that's true for me, and maybe it's true for you. Some days, this is not a good thing in my life. There are days when people don't connect to me in wonderful ways. There are days that people tap me on the shoulder because I have gone down. I'm looking at a screen that is 5.5 by 3.5 probably. And I go down a rabbit hole. And I can be standing around a flood of people, and I am absolutely focused on me and my world. Because this has so many platforms within it, all of which are about Tom. It has the email I need to do for work. It has the text messages to people that I know. It has more information than almost any library ever held even 10 years ago. It has games and podcasts and magical things. You can do everything from buy and sell stock to organize your photographs on this little device. And sometimes my family doesn't experience that as a very good thing. Have you ever had that experience? Maybe, so I'm not alone. And so I know the sermon series is on monsters. What's the monster here? What's the monster I'm talking about today? The monster I'm talking about is the zombie apocalypse. Because you and I, friends, have become the walking dead. And we do this with such regularity that the people around us notice it even when we don't. And every age group does it. It's not the property of the young. it is all of us that I can notice. Even my parents, my dad and mom sometimes get there. My dad's 80. Like, he's sometimes like, how do I do this thing again? You know, and he can get very focused, very, very focused. It's really interesting. Yesterday, I was in Washington, D.C. You can't make this up. I never knew I had this sermon. There's four lanes of traffic, and a woman jaywalks out into the street, and she is looking at this phone, and she gets right here in the middle of the street, and two cars both hit their brakes and their horns simultaneously. And honestly, I thought one of them was going to kill her. And she looked up like, oh, looked around, and then shook her phone at them like, you have to understand, I'm on my phone here, and kept walking. I was just stunned. It was so amazing. The way this, and the drivers did let her know that they were not in agreement. because they didn't want to hurt her. Like, it wasn't a shame on you. It was a shame on you, but you get it. I see people walking and texting, driving and texting, reading, and there are stories of people walking into poles, walls, intersection. You can go on the internet, as I did this last week, and find a great picture of a woman walking into the fountain of a shopping center. It's fabulous. You can also catch several men walking into poles, which I was going to show you. In London, there is actually a place where they have padded some of the poles. No joke. In America, we're like, no, if you walk into it, you deserve that. You just take your concussion and go home. Yeah, and you would think it was just Americans who are the walking dead. By the way, another person walked off a pier into Lake Michigan, and the Coast Guard had to get her out. I'm sorry that that's three women. Men do this all the time. Seriously, this is not a gender thing, so don't catch me on that later. But here's the deal. It's not just in America. Look at this picture. These are Maasai warriors in Kenya. This is one of the most traditional cultural groups in the country of Kenya. And look at these two guys. They could be in a Starbucks in Herndon. Right? I mean, the culture has spread everywhere. And so we have to ask ourselves, why are we in the zombie apocalypse? How has this happened to the world? And the answers are just so obvious, you don't even need to hear them. The first is there's more technology available between this and its two cousins, the tablet and the laptop. You know, those portable devices connect us as we've never been before. And second, the number of uses is increasing, and everybody's got their own favorite use, right? For some of us, it's an abundant level of social media. Others of us only text or do email. But the truth of us, all of us, between our games and our applications, all of us get sucked into the screen. And I really do want you just to think about how this is changing. This has changed everything. And I think as Christians, we ought to be thoughtful about that. We ought to ask ourselves whether we want to participate. Here's the thing about being Christian. You always have to ask yourself, do I want to participate in the culture at large? There was a time in America when Christians were the culture at large, but we're not anymore. People like you and I are in the minority. People that go to church, people that have beliefs, orthodox beliefs of Christ. That's becoming a more and more unique thing. And we've got to ask ourselves, do we want to be, and I'm not suggesting that we all become Amish and go to the 1700s. This is an important device in my life. I've had tragedies that I've been able to attend to much faster in individuals in our church because of this device. I have had community events that have happened that have impacted multiple families and individuals in our church, and I've been reacting to them much faster because of this device. I am not against this. As you know, your church uses social media, Twitter, Facebook, etc. Right now, live stream, a technology is happening right now that could have never happened a few years ago. So there are folks, if you're watching on a screen, please do not feel guilty. It's okay. What I'm suggesting is, we've got to attend to who we are when we are with this device. Because I have hurt people around me. I have made people around me feel like they are not important. I've also sometimes sent the signal that I have a strong sense of self-importance, because this was far more important than this. Have you ever done that? You know, we're going to have a prayer of confession later, so you might as well come clean now. Have you ever done that? Seriously, am I the only one today?
No.
Okay. So it's just something to be in our minds. Maybe you've had that experience where you sit down to lunch with a good friend and you've been looking forward to it, and you've been looking forward to catching up, because when you're with this friend, they kind of make you feel better about yourself. They expand you. And when you're with them, you feel a greater sense of love and community. But as you're having that lunch, this thing is tweeting and chirping and vibrating, and the friend is picking this up, and yours is in your car, or maybe in a purse or somewhere, or turned off. But the other device, it just all the time. And frankly, by the time lunch ends, you're kind of glad it ended. Because instead of feeling expanded, you actually feel smaller. Instead of feeling loved, you actually feel a little unloved. And then when you walk out, maybe you feel a little self-righteous. Well, at least I don't have that problem. I wonder how things are on Facebook. And at every stoplight, and when you get back to your office, and you find yourself during the day opening that up. Notice how long it takes me to open up this, and then, oh, look, Andrea's there. Well, she's not in church if she's posting that. I can even feel smug about that. But look, it was 2 hours ago, so she's clear. It's okay. And we can feel smug, but the truth is most of us are dealing with this. In fact, if you look at the statistics, just look at social networking, 28% of all media time is spent online in social networking alone. So think about the multiple platforms that are drawing our attention. I am not saying social media is bad. I am saying the more platforms available, the more time it's going to take from us, and we have to be aware of that. As I said, it was a social media platform that enabled to catch me to communicate with a friend who is dying. That, in my opinion, is a good thing, but the total time, and it affects you more the younger you are. If you'll notice this statistic, I thought was interesting. If you're between 15 and 19, you're spending 3 hours a day on social media. It goes up. 20 to 29, you're spending about 2 hours a day on social media. So notice, it's not just the adults. It's figuring out how I'm going to speak to my kid when they are in this space, or a grandchild. You know, one of the reasons my dad learned to text message was so that his grandchildren would know he was alive and well, and to talk to them. And that's been a great thing, but it's a world. Adults in the United States, actually, this is people in general. People in general, these are the next slide, please. Statistics from across the world. This is about screen minutes, which I think is a much better way for us to think about this. Total screen time. This would include television, by the way. What we find is that in America, we spend about 444 minutes a day looking at screens. That's 7.4 hours of our day. That is a world-changing statistic. We spend 147 minutes watching TV, 103 minutes in front of a computer. That includes your work. 151 minutes on smartphones and 43 minutes with a tablet doing something. And we've all got a different thing we can do. What's the difficulty here? Here's what I want to suggest. I want to suggest that the spiritual issue here is the level of constant connectivity. And as long as my focus is here, and I know that I can connect to people through this, I get that. But here's what I think is suffering. It's the people here. Because pretty soon our digital life becomes more important than our, what I'm going to call our real life. And I know that may be a false distinction. But friends, make no mistake about it, this is never going to change about you. You were made for connection here. You will feel lonely if this is what comes between me and everybody I connect to. You will feel lonely. You were made to have a relationship with your children and children with parents that's real. Is real is, see this right here? You see what's happening right here? You are a good girl. I love this girl. Pay attention to your sisters. Yeah, you're made for that embrace. You're made for that connection. That's never going to change. And one of the great things that I found a new way to sin in my life is not any particular application or use. I've got no deep, dark secrets there. Here's the thing. It's just getting lost in it. So our families look a little different these days. I don't know where I am in the sermon, but show that picture of the family. Notice this family. I think this is, has your family ever looked like this? Everybody's together, but nobody's in the same place. Amen? Notice this picture of socially what happens in our community. Isn't this amazing? Everybody's in it. This is a Starbucks in England. And I could say this is around the world, not just at Starbucks, but any place that has Wi-Fi. People are in the same place, but nobody is meeting anybody. And it's not like when you drink coffee, you always meet people. But don't you notice how you, if you're not focused here, people walk in and you're like, oh, there's so-and-so. I've sat in a coffee shop before, and as I'm sitting in the coffee shop looking at my screen, people walk over to me and literally have to do this. They walk over and they go, hey, Tom. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how many conversations God would have given me with real people had I not been checking out news on the internet. And life needs that space, real space, real time, real people space. And if you deal with a compulsion to a screen, you're never going to open your life to a place where the Holy Spirit can use it in that way. And frankly, bless you in that way. Now, some of you are saying, this isn't a problem for me. Please don't be smug. That is probably more a function of your age demographic than your personal habits. My father effectively could box out our entire family an entire Sunday afternoon with simply a newspaper. So the media has changed over the years, but it's the same problem. We are the walking dead whenever we become so focused on something in front of us that is for us that we can't hear what's going on around us. And God actually is calling us to a different way of life, is my point. And I think it's a way of life that will probably include this, because I doubt we're going to get rid of these. But we've got to think, how do Christians live in this world? How do Christians live in this world? And I love this text this morning, because guess what? Jesus himself was busy. Did you know that? Jesus was a busy guy. He had a lot of people who wanted a lot of things from him every single day, and he models things for us that are really helpful. Jesus was so busy and overwhelmed some days that he had to go to a quiet and lonely place. Scripture says that, and he went to a lonely place on purpose because he was so worn out with his busy life, just the same way you are. And notice that he goes to Jericho today. Look at this text. When he had heard, and Jericho was a busy city in the first century, a very busy, busy city. Would have been one of the biggest cities in Israel. And there is Jesus walking out of the city, having been busy and occupied. And there is a man whose name is Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is a man who is blind, and he lives on the street, and he's begging, because in those days, a significant disability like that would have been very hard to deal with. And Bartimaeus has a very limited economic life as a result of this and the way his culture dealt with that. And so he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But notice what people did, because they didn't have these, but they had the same monster, the walking dead. They were so focused on themselves and Jesus being near them that this guy's need was a distraction. The real guy who was really there is a total distraction. And so when he cries out, many rebuked him and told him, "Be quiet." But he shouted all the more. Now I want you to think about how many times when someone has walked up to you and pushed you on the arm and said, "Dad, Tom," my initial reaction is not, "Thank you for releasing me from my fixation upon this screen. It's so much better to be with you." That's not my first reaction. My first reaction is, "Be quiet." Is that true of you? Come on, be honest. Okay, thank you. We're getting church. We're getting to church. Let's see. Now, notice Jesus. Go to the next slide. Read this with me. Just the first two words. Jesus, stop. Read it with me again. Jesus stopped. And those two words may be the most instructive two words you're going to hear all morning. He stopped. And he said, "Call him." I welcome this. I welcome the fact that this blind guy over there, and here's what's so amazing. Isn't it stunning? Isn't it stunning that people were so caught up in their old world that nobody put this together? I mean, this is a big city, big crowd, and nobody thinks to themselves, "Wait a minute. We've got a guy who needs a miracle, and today only, we have a guy who can do a miracle." And wouldn't it have been great if somebody would have been open enough to the Holy Spirit that they would have made the connection? And the Lord, here's my bet. I bet God was saying to somebody in the crowd, "Get Bartimaeus together with Jesus and watch how cool this is going to be." But I think that in the first century, they didn't have these, but they had the exact same problem. Zombie, the walking dead, who can't see the guy, hear the guy with the problem, can't think about connecting. Why? Too much focus in here. Not enough out here. That's what all those zombie movies are, right? Like in those I don't watch them because they kind of, I don't know, it's creepy, you know? But listen, you can't stop The Walking Dead and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" Right? Or, "Hey, can you just listen to me for a minute?" They're just all about themselves, aren't they? Have you noticed that? And Jesus says what? Say it again. Call him. Now let's look at what happens. And Jesus says to the guy, to Bartimaeus, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I love what Bartimaeus says. This Bartimaeus is instructing us. Bartimaeus turns toward Jesus and says, "Rabbi, I want to see." What if when you came to communion this morning, that was your prayer? What if we all prayed that? Because I want to confess my shadow side. There are days when I don't see the people I love the most, much less the community I live in, because of screens. I think a world of good can be done in screens. I'm not anti-technology. I'm not anti-whatever. What I'm saying is I have a problem that you may have. Some days I'm too connected here to hear and see what is here. And what if I came to communion and said, "Rabbi Jesus, I just want to see." I think that we are sometimes blind. I think sometimes we can't hear. I think sometimes we're not open to communication of the world to us. How shall we live in a day when we are so connected? I share that with you because I love how Jesus cares. And I love the hope that Jesus brings to this man this morning who wanted to see more, Because Jesus says to him, go, read it with me. Your faith has made you well. What if I was able to have this in my life for all the blessings it can bring me and others, and at the same time be attentive to everything that God is trying to show me and let me hear and let me understand that's all around me? What if it was a both and? That'd be powerful, wouldn't it? To be able to connect to my friend who's dying on the one hand and be able to connect to my friend that's next to me on the other. Isn't that powerful? So if this is something you struggle with, if you're a sinner like your pastor, maybe when you come to receive communion, you might say, Jesus, I want to see more. And you might even think about the relationships where this is a constant conversation, where people are constantly saying to you, what's more important than me? As a friend of mine, his wife says that at the dinner table when he sneaks underneath. And she looks at him and says, what's more important than me right now? Because when we leave people feeling small, our faith has not made us well. You know, Jesus, he used to end parables this way. Come on up. He used to end parables this way. He'd say, those who have ears, let them hear. Those who have eyes, let them see. It wasn't about your ability to see or your ability to hear. It was whether you got the message that God wanted to give you about the monsters that are within. Amen.